Acts chapter 15, if you want to turn there. I like this church more and more every time I get to come up here. Amen. Such a wonderful place because all the good Christians. No, it's, this is the safest, this is now officially the safest church on the planet. One. Let's have all the Marines stand up. Holy cow. One, two, three. Yes, this is a wonderful place. Thank you. All right, Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And I'm going to do a little something unusual this morning. And this is the second time I've done it, so I'll be a little bit smarter this time around, I think, and be a little bit clearer. But that's always a good thing, amen, smarter and clearer. But I'm going to have everybody get saved this morning. How's that? So, Brother Mike, I've been saved for 25 years. Okay, I'm going to ask you to forget about that for just a little bit. And we're all going to get saved this morning, and we're going to start off fresh and new. Amen? And isn't that a good thing? Starting over fresh and a new start and a new page. And, you know, the only thing about turning a new leaf is you mess up the next one too. Amen? But I'm glad God is a God of second chances, and we're not really going to get saved this morning. If you're saved, you're saved. Amen? We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school class. But if you're not saved, I would get saved this morning. That'd be the best thing that ever happened to you. But there tends to be some confusion about when people get saved. How many of you have ever gotten saved and wondered, what can I do now or what can't I do now? What am I allowed to do and what am I not allowed to do? It's obvious that if Jesus Christ died for sins, then God has a low opinion of sin. And probably, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that probably he don't want us to sin afterward. It would be a wonderful thing if I could say, well, now when Christians get saved, they don't want to sin. Now, I remember growing up in the Baptist church, and a lot of times when the preacher would preach, he would say that now when Christians, before they get saved, they love their sin and they practice their sin. But then when a Christian gets saved after that, he hates his sin and he doesn't practice his sin. And I don't know which church he went to because that's just not the truth. People still sin after they get saved. Amen? And I'm not saying that that's okay. I'm not saying that that's okay at all. But after preaching for just a little while, and I hadn't preached a long time in my life, but after just preaching a short time and trying to beat people over the head, which I'm inclined to do with the Bible, what's right and what's wrong. There is a right and a wrong, amen? But trying to herd goats is not the easiest thing that you've ever done in your life, amen? So once in a while, you've got to step back and say, well, let me approach this from a different avenue. And I would like to see myself get a handle on my own life. I would like to see myself stop making mistakes. I would like to see myself stop giving in to temptation. And every once in a while, even as a preacher, you face a thing or a temptation or something that you desire to do, and you say, well, hey, is this right for me to do or not? And if you don't know, and if you hang around in church long enough, somebody will tell you if it's right or wrong. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And sometimes that's a blessing to you, and sometimes it's not. It just depends on how you take it. But I always thought it would be nice if there was some kind of a way that, you know, in Exodus chapter 20, God gave Moses a list, said, just don't do this. That makes it plain, doesn't it? Well, in the New Testament, a lot of times, because you can't control what goes on in every church and in every pulpit, sometimes people get the idea that when you get saved, in the New Testament sense of being born again, then the law is all gone and there's no rules and no regulations and we just all live by grace and do the best we can. That's not true either. That's right. There is a list of things in the Bible that you can do. It's just not found on a table of stone. It'll be found written in your heart and it will be magnified and it will be testified to by the words of the New Testament. Amen? Amen? And so the Bible makes it clear that the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God so surely. If the Bible says we have no need that any man should teach us, but that the Holy Spirit would teach us, surely there's something inspired in this book that'll tell us how to live after we are saved. Amen? And there's no use in being rebellious or don't tell me what to do. And there's no use in having that attitude because that's just going to lead to more frustration. Because somebody's going to tell you what to do. Amen. Amen. That's just a plain case. If nobody else, your wife going to tell you what to do. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
We got quiet right there, didn't it? A bunch of henpecked. Amen. But that's just the way it is. Somebody going to tell you what to do. And people say, well, when it comes to religion, they say, I'm not following no man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I ain't following no man.
Yeah.
Well, that means you're probably following you.
That's right.
Yeah. Or Brad Pitt. That's who you dress like. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, you are following somebody.
Right.
So the statement, I ain't having nobody tell me what to do or I ain't following no man, is basically just self-worship and rebellion.
Amen.
And that's, you can take it or leave it. You do it or not do it, that's between you and God. But what I'm trying to get across to you is there's a better way than rebellion to go about your Christianity.
That's right.
And there's a better way than bondage to go about your Christianity.
Amen.
Have you ever thought it was strange? And I don't necessarily think it's strange, but getting saved and going to a church, especially like this, where you get some good preaching, Brother Allen, Brother Mark, you get that, Brother Glenn Stocker. These guys come in, they tell you, what to do and what not to do, and you get this kind of a preaching on a regular basis. But don't you find it strange that the Bible says nothing about television, for instance? Well, Paul didn't have a television, Brother Mike. I'm not so sure. But that's all a joke and stuff like that. But, there's nothing about don't smoke. Marlboro is not in the Bible. Right?
Amen!
Well, that's right. Well, how's a fella supposed to know? You say, I got saved and the preacher was preaching and said I shouldn't smoke, and I'm so upset about it, and spend the next 3 weeks upset about, I got to smoke, and I'm addicted to smoking, and the preacher says I shouldn't smoke, and now, if you're not a grounded Christian, now I'm going to hell again because I smoked a cigarette, and the thing will just wear your brain out.
Right.
And if you got a brain like mine, my brain is easily wore out. Because I've got a conscience and I've got the Holy Spirit and I've got a Bible, and this thing, the more I read this Bible is not, the Bible is full of grace, but grace abounds where sin is plentiful.
Yeah.
Amen. And so it magnifies the grace of God in my life, but this Bible is full of things that I am constantly guilty of. And Paul the Apostle found himself in the same place while he was writing the Bible. He says, the things that I hate are the things that he does. That's Romans chapter 7. I recommend you read it, and probably wouldn't hurt you too much to do a little bit of memorization of it. Paul said, the things that I hate, he says, that I do. That's what he does. And so if Paul is struggling with that thing about doing things he ought not to do, or even figuring out what he shouldn't do, if that was a difficult thing for him to abstain from it after he knew not to do it, then I'm going to imagine that there's probably one or two people in here that's been saved and then just struggle with, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Should I didn't do that? What should I do? And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to pretend that we're going to get saved. And I hate to use the word pretend in the pulpit. We're just going to make believe that we get saved this morning, and we're going to start today, and we're going to start out right. We're going to start out a biblical way, and then we're going to grow. Now, here's the thing where I messed up in preaching it the first time. What I'm going to do is, in this couple of chapters, I'm going to point out the first prohibitions for the Christian life. And what I didn't think of was, the first time I preached this message, there was guys sitting out there that done kicked alcohol, liquor. So what we're going to do is, we're not going to go back and pick up the old habits again. Amen. We're just going to assume everybody got saved today and you already had a good foundation. Amen. So don't leave here today and say, well, Brother Mike said, now all we've got to abstain from is these few things. Amen. So let's don't do that. But I think if you'll pay attention, you'll see and understand that this is going to be a very common sense way of figuring out what's right and wrong in your life. Amen. So that when the preacher gets up and preaches against your favorite thing, that you hadn't got control of yet. You don't have to get upset with him.
Amen.
You can just say, well, maybe there's something laying ahead for me for my improvement. You know, in the Bible, and I just mentioned this, when the Bible was being written, there was no movie theaters.
Amen.
There was no television. There was no radio. But how many of you have ever heard somebody preach against those things? The modern music? The dirty movie? Well, where did they get that from? Well, see, they got that from building on small principles.
Amen.
And small principles became big principles. And lo and behold, by the time you came along 2,000 years later, the church, who God said, what you loose on earth be loosed in heaven, the church had already figured some things out before you got here. And the church already had a foundation that it had built upon. And what I'm trying to say is it had the wisdom to recognize things that you might not recognize as sinful or shameful the day you get saved.